So we're going to be in Luke 18, 1 through 8 this morning. That's the often called the parable of the persistent widow or the unrighteous judge. So let's read. Luke 18 says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we know it is holy and righteous and true, and is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for them. We pray by your Spirit that you would indwell us to hear and to speak accurately concerning what you have said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is, I love these parables when Jesus says, beforehand, here's what it's about. And because many of the parables even don't have a plain explanation, you understand it. And sometimes Jesus says, "Well, here's a parable, and whoever has ears, let him hear. And if you don't understand, then get you some ears or something." But this one's very clear. He says that he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and to not lose heart. And so I love when I look at the lectionary for the scripture reading. I love to listen to different Reformed pastors and just listen to their sermons on the passage and what they bring out. And this week I listened to R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur and a very dry red sermon from Charles Spurgeon, because he was not around when YouTube or recording devices were available, so it was some gentleman reading it. But all three of those brought out, I love, because the scriptures are so deep, and the parable is so plain here, but there's still so much to bring out of it. And so what I want to do this morning is really just make the point of, he explains the parable that you ought always to pray and to not lose heart, and put that into context. Because between all three, between all three of these great pastors who I listened to these sermons, all three of them took the sermon and the text in three different directions. All were great and all were beneficial, but all three went in different directions. And there's many principles you can derive about prayer through this parable. But there's one, and there's many things you can talk about prayer. There's many things you can talk about in God's character and in how to pray and what to pray and various principles. But it's a very specific parable relating to praying for justice and that you ought not to lose heart. And so if you're looking in your Bible, and if you just go, since I wasn't up here last, it might have been a few weeks, we didn't, I don't think, the last time I actually preached from Luke was in Luke 15. And so Luke 17, the closing chapter of 17, is talking about this, the second coming of Christ, or another return of Christ, where he's coming in judgment. And so this parable is inserted in here, or Jesus puts it in here specifically to talk about praying for justice related to that upcoming judgment. And so that's why he picks out this the character of this unrighteous judge. Says he neither feared God nor feared man, and then he himself says in the parable, "Though I neither fear God nor fear man," and he asserts that about himself. And so someone who's in the position of a judge to delegate legalities and bring forth judgments, to weigh cases and matters. One who does not fear God cannot be swayed by the law of God. There's no altruism to him. There's nothing higher than himself that defines right or wrong. God is of no concern to him. He has no fear that in his position, if he deals out false judgment, that he himself would be judged. He has no manner of thinking that would instill, like we would have in a right Christian view, that says God put me here as a delegate of God to bring forth right judgment and to judge justly. He has none of that. The only thing he has concern for is himself. And it says that he neither respects men. And that word respects, what it means is he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He has no shame about himself. If he deals out false judgments or if he does something that other people don't like, there's nothing that can bring about him change in his position because you can't even influence him. There's no shame. And most likely he is sitting in this, just the character who's sitting in this parable, is sitting in the seat as a judge, and he would be whatever pleases him, whatever he wants to do, whatever whim. If he's angry that day, he might deal harshly. If someone brings a bribe, he would most likely take it. He's a law unto himself. He doesn't respect or has no regard for any man. He has no shame. In essence, he is, in his own mind, his highest authority. He is God to himself. And so if that's hard to believe, that a man as wicked of this and of this caliber could attain to that political point as to sit in judgment, I'll just remind you that in 1857, our highest court in the Supreme Court dealt out unjust, ungodly judgments in the Dred Scott decision that said black persons and slaves were only worth 3/5 of a person. They were no persons at all. And so not only that, but in 1973, in Dred Scott decision times 65 million, and the Roe v. Wade, again, our highest court, decided that persons in the womb were of no regard. And they sat in that judgment and had no fear of God and no regard for mankind. And just to bring it, I think this is fun. Not that part, but I had this next part. And just to bring it locally, what I'm about to say used to be illegal for anyone from a pulpit to say what I'm about to say. That's just an attention getter, so you're listening. But they would take away our nonprofit 501 tax-exempt status. But I wouldn't care anyways, but that was just a recent judgment. I would have said it anyways. But even locally, with our abortion mill in Kettering that kills over 4,000 people a year, the local legislator, Andrea White, who is a professed Christian who attends a church, refuses to answer my phone calls or have a meeting to address the issue that there's people driving from Kentucky and Indiana to kill their babies just 4 miles away. And she has power to do something about it. And so it shouldn't be surprising that wicked people rise to power. Wicked people, this wouldn't be something unimaginable when Jesus is telling this parable. And so most of our court officials, even just in Western America today, have rejected God and his law. They have no regard for God. And therefore, they don't seek to deal out justice and equity. But in contextually here, one of the reasons why Jesus is, and I want to keep bringing it back to, don't lose heart, continue to pray. Always be praying and don't lose heart. And so the judge ends up saying, in the parable, the judge ends up saying, not because I have regard for God, not because I feel like I'm going to sit before the judgment seat of Christ, not because I know that when I die, God will hold me accountable for my actions, That's not what motivates him. And it's not because the society or the people at large are pressuring him to be swayed one way or another, or that he feels some sense of altruism, or that anybody could come to him and reason with him based on saying, you know, these are people. This is a poor widow. She has nothing. She has been wronged. She's destitute. She has kids to take care of. How could she, she's going to starve and die. She's going to lose her house. Nothing on that regard could motivate this judge. But what he says is, because of her continually coming to me, it says, verse 5, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And interesting, that beat me down is like a boxing term. And some translations literally say, would blacken my face. She would just, her continually coming would just really bother me and beat the stuffing out of me. I'm doing better. Thank you. Just really beat me down. And that's his motivation, is because I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to hear it anymore. And it just exalts how wicked this judge is and how unjust it is. But Jesus says, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? And so put yourself in the disciples' shoes here a little bit, and think about, as they're hearing this parable and as Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem, he is about to be wrongfully accused. He's about to be wrongfully arrested. He's going to then be beaten and mocked in a sham trial in the middle of the night, and then taken to Pontius Pilate, who publicly admits his innocence. Says, I find nothing wrong with this man. And yet, because of political expediency and the pressures from the people, Pilate ends up, in the most unjust way, giving Christ over to be crucified and died in the most unjust way. And so that would have been, if you ever have lose heart, like, that would have been like a decent time to do it, and understandably. And the disciples do. Some of them are just traveling back to Galilee, and some of them are, I think it's Peter and Andrew, or maybe it's James and John, are going back to fishing. But it's all about continuing to pray and not losing heart. So yes, this parable could be applied to general praying persistently. Yes, this parable could be grouped into pray without ceasing. And yes, this parable could be used as a general call to pray more, to imitate Jesus in his life, as he oftentimes did seclude himself and go off to pray alone with the Father. But in context, he is praying about justice, which I think oftentimes, if you were to ask me just in my personal prayer life, how often do I pray for justice, for the right thing to be done, or how often am I wronged and I pray for justice, or how often do I see other Christians wronged and I pray for justice? It would be very slim. And so not only were the apostles about to see great deals of injustice thrown and thrust upon Jesus that they would have lost heart, after the resurrection, the disciples were then going to be heavily persecuted for centuries, for 2.5 centuries. They were going to be dragged from their homes, ran out of cities, wrongfully treated even to the point of death. And it wouldn't be until about two and a half centuries until that starts to let up. And given this, given the scriptures and this passage and this parable to the early church, they would have taken it in times of where it would have been illegal to be a Christian. Paul and hundreds of other Christians were publicly executed by Nero as scapegoats to when the city was set on fire. Right? They would be, later on, they would be impaled just for being Christians, just for gathering together. For refusing to acknowledge Caesar as Lord, impaled on a stake, dipped in tarred, and publicly put on the streets to burn. And so this is the context of the parable when he's saying, don't lose heart, right? Don't lose heart. There's going to be lots of injustice. There's going to be lots of persecution. You're going to be wronged. Don't lose heart, but continue to pray. Right now, is anybody aware, has anybody heard about how bad the persecution is in Nigeria right now? Has anybody heard even like a story about it? Just wondering, just to see how widespread of knowledge it is. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Right now in Nigeria, our brothers and sisters are systematically being executed in an attempt by Boko Haram, which is the Islamic group, to wipe out Christianity. And it's up to date, the numbers have been 7,000 this year have been reportedly killed, Christians, on top of 7,800 who have been abducted just this year. From October 2022 until September 2023, 82% of Christians killed globally out of all the reported martyrdom of Christians in the world, 82% in that year was in Nigeria. That's how bad it is. And the government does little to no intervention. And so don't lose heart, especially praying for our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries, which are, if you want a list of persecuted countries, just take the countries that haven't been established in Christianity, and that's every other country in the world. Everywhere else in the world, Christians experience physical, life-threatening persecutions. And we do experience some types of persecution here in the West and zoning laws and different things and during COVID and whatever, but not like other Christians. And so this is the context of what Jesus is giving that parable. You're going to see, and he's saying, there's going to be lots of injustice, but don't lose heart. Here's a wicked judge who was petitioned day and night and day and night and day and night for justice. And he finally relented because of the widow who was persistent and he didn't want to be bothered. But how much more do we have the Father at our ear? How much more does he hear our prayer? How much more when we're persistent and when we come to him is he willing to hear? How much more is he willing to give justice to his elect? Right? He says he's willing. He says he's there. The opposite of this wicked judge is God our Father. Right? Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I just want to put that in context when he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. As that is in Deuteronomy 32, I believe, in the Song of Moses, in context of Israel coming into the Promised Land, being, as they're traveling through, being various attacks and unfriendliness by surrounding nations, but they're coming in, and God's saying, you don't have to repay. The reason why we could pray without ceasing for justice when we've been wronged is because it's not our job to repay and deal out justice, unless we're put in position as a judge or something, right? It's because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will repay. He might repay here on earth. He might repay eternally. But either way, it is the Lord to repay evil for evil or as he sees fit. Amen. Right? It is our job to pray without ceasing and to not lose heart. And Just to put yourself in context, especially with the early Christians when they received the scripture and heard Jesus and the teachings of the apostles, it's very easy to get to lose heart when it's like it's every day. It would be very easy for the Nigerian Christians to lose heart because it's every day. You don't know when you gather on Sunday, you don't know if that's your last time gathering. It's very easy to lose heart. But the encouragement here is to pray without ceasing. Pray that God would give justice. God delights in seeing, right? We see this in 1 Peter. God delights in seeing his people go through persecutions, not to get punished, but to go through persecutions and the sufferings of Christ, to be imitators of Christ, right? We say it every week. We assert it's part of our faith and the gospel that we proclaim in the Nicene Creed, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That is part of our hope. That is part of what we remind ourselves every week, that we could, and that's part of not losing heart, you know, continue to pray for justice, continue to give it to God, continue to pray for the persecuted church, continue to pray that God would overthrow wicked governments, that God would bring about righteous judges, right? And not just in as I go into 1 Timothy 2, where it talks about praying for kings and who are all in high position, that doesn't just go for the persecuted church, right? Like what I said, we have unrighteous judges, we have legislators, we have people who are okay and willing and want to see the unborn dead. They're willing. So there is large injustice going on. And a lot of times it's, you could be really impervious to it. You could walk around and be really ignorant, and that's okay for a time. But really, if you start looking into it and you start getting involved, that's usually when you notice the injustices, right? And you could experience for the adults, we've probably experienced this in some degree growing up, but for kids, growing up under their parents' house, at some point you will experience injustice. We don't have perfect parents, and we're not perfect parents, right? But don't lose heart. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for justice, and continue without ceasing. That passage in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life." That's the goal, to live a peaceful and quiet life. And we pray for those who are in position because they could deal out justice. They could be God's mediator of justice on the earth. They could bring about God's law. They can bring about a society where we could live peaceful and quiet lives. And so the encouragement here, just as I kind of close, is not to just pray for the persecuted church and to be reminded of that, that this parable is set in context of heavy persecution, heavy injustice. The point is always, don't lose heart. Don't quit praying. You're going to experience injustice if you haven't. The more you try to live a godly life, the more injustice you're going to experience. And so do not lose heart. Look to Christ. Right? When he was mocked, when he was beaten, what did he do? He entrusted himself to the Father. He continued to pray. He continued to go out into the calling which he had. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Father, we pray that we would not lose heart. We would continue to pray for justice. We'd seek in whatever realms we have to mete out justice, to pray, to not lose heart, that we wouldn't be tempted, Lord, or we wouldn't fall to the temptation, that you're slow in answering prayer because you're not listening, or because you can't do anything about it, but that you in your perfect timing have foreordained and foreknown everything that which is taking place, and you do it for the good of your elect. And we trust in you, Lord, that you hear our prayers, that you would strengthen our hearts by the Spirit, to continue to seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.